All right, friends, you're listening to Irish Radio Network, USA. Let's go out to the Hilton Hotel in Parsippany for the 2014 Convention and Mid-Atlantic FLA, which is taking place there this weekend, and welcome Senator Lauris O'Murchú, Director General of COLTIS Kiltory, Éireann. Lauris, Senator, you're very welcome.
Thank you, Adrian. It's always very nice to talk to you. I can remember coming to the States many years ago and being on your program, but I was also delighted when you traveled to Ireland to the FLA Ceoil in Cavan and also the great FLA Ceoil we had in Derry. So thank you for everything you've done for us, Adrian.
It is my pleasure, and indeed we have good reason to celebrate COLTIS Kiltory, because among other things, when I left Ireland some 55 years ago, there was a major division in terms of association with music. There were Cayley bands, there were groups, but somehow that was considered to be more of a country, as in out in the country areas, where they would have the status maybe of a sessioon. They felt that Ireland was moving on, and perhaps that's one tradition we could take it or leave it. And in the 62 years since COLTIS Kiltory, it is 62, right?
That's right. It was founded in 1951, and that was in Mullingar in County Westmeath. And I think you've actually summed it up exceptionally well. Back in 1951 and in the 50s, what we were experiencing was pockets of traditional music, very good pockets of traditional music, but it wasn't embraced by the general public. It certainly wasn't in the big stages of the world, and you didn't have anything like the number of performers that you have today. And I think that was a historical thing in a way, because we were only 30 years after the War of Independence.
Yes.
And there had been a mass exodus out of Ireland at that particular period. But I think once it was brought central stage, people began to realize what a very, very rich musical culture we have. And not just Irish people, non-Irish seem to have taken to it in the same way.
Yes.
So I think we have seen a huge renaissance of traditional music, and it's now embraced by all the population.
It would be hard, actually, for us to think that within Irish America, that, say, the absence of COLTIS Kiltory, and you do have several regions. I believe there are five regions in the United States whereas they operate independently, they are cut from the same cloth. And we see that not only in the United States, but actually throughout the world.
That's right. Today, COLTIS is now organized on 15 countries on four continents. Obviously, North America has always been very special to us, because the early immigrants brought their music with them and they kept it alive. And interestingly enough, very often we depended on them to indicate to us what we had to do to keep that music alive. But now we can go to Moscow or go to Sardinia or go to Japan. There are branches of COLTIS, but they're all connected to the universal movement. And I think that's part of the strength which we have at the moment. And, you know, it's very interesting that the secretary of the Moscow branch, Yuri, he's a fluent Irish speaker, which we think is icing on the cake to see somebody with no Irish connections so intent on being part of the whole cultural experience. But we feel very happy and, I suppose, confident for the future. And the young people today, educated young people, who look to perfection and professionalism, they're bringing it to a new height as well. So I think it's very, very safe as we go forward into the future years.
You have a weekend which actually started on Thursday evening and continues through tonight and into tomorrow. It's a weekend of music. It's a weekend of dance, and I don't think we can separate those. Whereas Coltis may have indeed got two for the price of one, in the sense that the music and the dance in traditional music are, you'd have a rough job in separating them, because...
Yeah, I think that reflects the history. You're quite right, Adrian, because if you look back, say, in the older years, what was happening in the houses at that time, you had music playing in the houses, but you also had people dancing. It was one of their main social outlets, and maybe a visiting musician would come to the house and the neighbors would all gather in. That was really their main outlet. But I'm glad that tradition of the music and the dancing staying together. And last night here in the Hilton Hotel, they had a wonderful night of dancing, a very, very big crowd. But what was interesting was how good the dancers were, how proficient and how passionate they were about the dancing as well. So we're very lucky, as you said, that that never became divided. In fact, they actually complement each other in the same way as they did many decades and centuries ago in Ireland.
You know, Senator Lauras O'Marraga, we could say tongue-in-cheek that there's a very parochial aspect to traditional Irish music in Coltis. We noticed from a gathering hosted by Consul General Noel Kilkenny, who is from Clare, as is his wife, Honora, that there's a sense that this is something to be very proud of. And when I say parochial, that's in the best possible sense.
Yes, I think you're right there. In actual fact, we're really talking about community, and that is the strength of traditional music. It's not just for concert stages or concert halls. It belongs to the people down on the ground. And in fact, the Consul General North Kilkenny, when we visited the consulate last night, referred to his experiences back in Kilrush, and his mother was actually in Coltis at that time. But all that was being, if you like, promoted by the community for themselves and, of course, for visitors as well. And that's why the music is so rooted today. It's not, if you like, in any kind of a superficial existence. And I think you're quite right. You can use the term parochial in a very positive sense. But that parochial can just as easily be in New York or Tokyo or Moscow, Kilrush, or wherever. And I suppose it's community is what we're talking about.
Yes. Now, we had, and of course, even before the establishment of Coltis Kilturi, a great number of traditional musicians left Ireland, went to their own corners of the world, and their heads were filled with music. Many of them, indeed, composed and arranged their own music when they get there. Is there a sense? Is there a license, as it were, whether that's in Moscow or in Parsippany, is the rules, what rules are written in stone?
Well, there are very few, actually. The one good thing about tradition, because of the community aspect, is that you recognize what is tradition, and very often it's not a matter of speaking. For instance, a new tune can have a traditional structure, and there are hundreds, if not thousands, of new tunes. And a very little interesting story this week back in Ireland, Michael Rooney, a well-known harpist, a young man from Monaghan, now living in Sligo, composed a complete suite of music lasting 2 hours called Baroiva, which is the name for Brian Boru. That was the area he came from. And this year we're celebrating the millennium of Brian Boru throughout Ireland. He was a High King of Ireland, and he died in Clontarf. But Colt has brought 50 young musicians and created a folk orchestra at the National Folk Orchestra. Michael Rooney composed the suite of music, and I was able to listen in to the rehearsals, and it was absolutely unique. And this is from a young man in modern times, and the final night was in at the foot of the Rock of Cashel last night, where they had a packed house again, standing ovation. So the point you're making is very, very clear. Here's a young man steeped in tradition, knows what tradition is, but he also doesn't have to, if you like, spell out in too much theory. And the audience also know what's traditional, because they're now, if you like, very much tuned into it.
You know, again, at the reception at the residence of the Irish consulate the other night, we got a chance to meet a group, Brew Baru, and you might want to tell us a little bit about that. First of all, let me rush in with my extensive knowledge of Brian Boru, who won the battle and then was kneeling to thank God for being a winner, and some bloody Dane came along with a hatchet. And
Bruder was his name, and he took advantage of Brian saying his prayers and killed him. And,
Letterman too.
Credited with the one person who was able to unite all the factions on the island of Ireland. He was also, in what would be known as a modern term, as a patron of the arts. He believed in music, education, and so on. And there's a centre now at the foot of the Rock of Cashel. Brian Boru lived on the Rock of Cashel. He was crowned as High King, and it was from there he set out for Clontarf. And Brew Baru is a Coltis cultural centre dedicated to his memory and his name. And they have a show called the Brew Baru Show as well, made up of very talented performers in existence almost a quarter of a century. And they have people like the well-known player accordionist, Robbie McMahon, Sean O'Shea, the singer, we also have Bobby Gardner.
Bobby Gardner,
We have, not only about Bobby Gardner, and we have Sean O'Shea, the well-known singer from Cork. We have Laura Butler. All of those are part of it. And they've traveled the world. They've been to China, Japan, and they went with President Mary McAleese when she was president to perform for the Sultan of Oman. And when Tom Vesey, who's doing such a fantastic job as chairman of the convention, had them in Ireland, he said, I must have them for the convention. So they are performing here.
Now, you got a double whammy this weekend in the sense that it is the Mid-Atlantic FLA, but it's also your convention. That doesn't, they don't normally happen at the same time, or do they?
No, this is the very first time. Last year was the first time that the FLA was held in a hotel, and Tom came up with the idea of having the FLA and the convention, and so far it's working very, very well.
Now, let's ask you about, sometimes there are similarities, or people would think that the FLA is more in line with a FESH, and the Feshna. What we see about the FLA is, whereas the FESH might have been a competition of a particular selected bunch of tunes that everybody repeated, and then judges decided of the contest who in particular would have given the best version. Cultus Culturi seems to have a lot more variety, but there is a sense of recognition. If not competition, then let's call it recognition.
I think the attitude of the FLA, I mean, the Fishermen do wonderful work, obviously, as well, but the attitude of the FLA is that obvious that there's competition there with a view to the performers pacing each other on the road to excellence. But it's also in an environment of celebration of the music. Mm-hmm. So at a FLA Ciúil in Ireland, I presume the same applies here, while they do their competitions, they still come out and they have sessions of music. And at the All-Ireland FLA Ciúil in Derry, you would have attracted 430,000.
It was
so
one
really,
of the...
The FLA, if you like, was more than just the competitors. It was the whole of Ireland and the visitors from abroad with a sense of who we are, language, music, attitudes, literature, art. So it was all one big shop window. And, of course, the competitions are part of that. And we think that's a good idea. Competition should not be an end in itself. It should be all right about establishing standards, but it should also be about reflecting the strength and the essence of what tradition is for the tens of thousands of people who will turn up to experience it.
You know, we're talking about a weekend, friends, and again, this is taking place right now, and we're delighted to catch up with the Director General of Cultas Ciúil Tóra Éireann Worldwide, Senator Lauras O'Murchú. But it is taking place at the Hilton Persephone Hotel, and it is going, as I say, it is going on today, tomorrow. There are workshops. They're within the framework of the thousands who participate across America in Cultas under the Cultas umbrella. There are many events taking place all at the same time. I don't know, did anybody tell the Hilton that, you know, that you were going to take over not only the...
Well, actually, interestingly enough, I came out on Tuesday and you'd meet members of the staff and they all had a pretty good idea that there was something specially Irish going to take place here this weekend. And they were excited, absolutely excited about it. And that doesn't surprise me. My first time coming to America was 1969.
Right.
With Paddy O'Brien and those people back in those years, Tadhg O'Loughlin and all of those. And then I, even then, and I was relatively young at the time, I'd just become president of Cultas. Paddy O'Brien and those were well-known performers. But I sensed out here this, if you like, there was no constraints about being Irish and about our culture. There was a passion behind it, which perhaps you wouldn't even experience at home. So when I come here to this event, I find the same thing. And I meet so many of the friends who I've been meeting over the years. And they arrive in here with a great sense of expectation. And that, you can, that's permeating everything that's happening in the hotel at the moment. Now, obviously, we've lost some great people from the past.
Indeed.
And I think of great people like Larry Reynolds of Boston and Eamon O'Loughlin of Toronto, who have gone to their eternal reward, and so many more. But do you know, Adrian, we owe them a huge debt of gratitude, because their dedication and their sincerity and their passion is really what developed and evolved everything that we now have at the moment. When we were in at the consulate last night, they had a young Cayley band from New York who won the All-Ireland, all juniors, and they were playing the most mature music you could put on any stage of the world. And that tells me what the great people of the past did that foundation.
Right, from Pearl River in Rockland County,
right,
which indeed has more musicians and traditional participants than practically any place else that we know of, I'm sure.
Sure.
No more than, you know, the Kilkennys insinuating that were it not for Clare, Rockland County could say the same thing, because there are a tremendous group of young people. In some cases, we have involved in Coltis Kill Tory three generations of participants, which is amazing. I mean, that's kind of, and again, far be it for me to say I have a bad word to say about the fesh, but this is something that is all year long. This is not something that you pull out of the hat once a year. It is a tremendous commitment, and it's great.
Yeah, we had Margie Mulvihill back in Derry. We gave her an Arctic Award this year. And, you know, in honouring Margie, and she was there last night as well, we were really, it's a symbolic of honouring all those teachers who have passed on the music and all the Tom Veseys of this world, and the Bill McAvoys. Bill is now 91 years of age. All of those people, Bill is here actually as well, but all of them, Paul Keating, there's a whole body of people there who have done all of this. And you're quite right, it isn't just preparing for a single presentation.
Right.
It's there all the time, and it's organic, and it's growing, and it's influenced on other parents and other children as well. So what you're really seeing here is a renaissance and a renaissance, a totally unexpected maybe 50 years ago, but now spreading throughout North America, and as I said earlier, indeed spreading to so many other countries as well. But only for you, the people you mentioned who came out first, only for they kept the music alive at that time and were able to keep it for a next generation and a next generation. The music could have become a museum piece.
Yes.
You might have only heard it in an archive, but now it's living, and it's a living tradition in every sense of the word. And a nice thing from a tourist point of view, and I don't mean this in a mercenary way, it's wonderful the way they come back to Ireland with their music and celebrate with us back at home at the Flakeol, as we'll be doing next August in Sligo.
Yes.
There'll be hundreds and thousands of people coming from all over the world to that one spot in Ireland, which will be the great showcase of our cultural tradition.
And it might be well to note, friends, that if you are heading over to Ireland this summer, and if you want to work in into your schedule a great international event which comes together in the Flakeol in Ireland, it is Sligo, and I believe it starts August.
It's August, yes, about the second week of August. And I'm sure a lot of people, like I heard Tom Veasey last night in the consulate talking about raising funds to bring the musicians to Ireland.
Yeah.
It costs him between 80 and 90,000 to bring them over. And throughout the year, they're raising that money to bring them to Ireland. And, you know, again, we owe them a huge debt of gratitude, because when they come in, they inspire ourselves. They inspire other young people.
Right.
And there's now a great network with social media between young musicians throughout the world. So it all augurs well, if you like, for the cultural status of Ireland, and it also augurs well for Irish tourism.
Mm-hmm.
And again, as I said, it's all been done on a voluntary basis by the organisers, and we do owe them a debt of gratitude. But I think, in fairness to official Ireland and the Irish people, they do very much appreciate all of this. They're aware of the effort, but they're also aware of the achievement.
And in fact, as should be acknowledged, and you've done this well, very well, might add, without the Irish government and without the full backing of the Irish government, it would have been nigh impossible to get the kind of numbers of people. They help with their money, but they also help with their stamp of approval And that is something that, of course, we should recognize as well, is that this, you know, that without the government, it would be very difficult to you know, pull this off, as it were.
Well, I must say that the government has been very supportive of our work in Ireland. They enabled us to set up 16 cultural centres now throughout Ireland.
Wow.
And they've also helping cultists abroad, both in Britain and in North America. And the importance of that help is that while volunteerism is outstanding,
yes,
there's always the opportunity of raising the bar that little bit higher when you have resources. And that's why we're so appreciative of the Irish government and the assistance, the generous assistance. So we're really now talking, if you like, say, Coltis and the government in partnership, working together to promote the cultural ideals of the nation. And if without that support, volunteerism would be still there, but I think there would be many opportunities lost to develop potential opportunities that might not be there in years to come. But I do know that the government is very pleased with the results which they are seeing. And I suppose that's a good thing, because there would have been a period when maybe the finances weren't available in Ireland to do that. But when the economy had improved during the Celtic Tiger, this type of work, like with the 16 cultural centres,
right,
and all the major projects which we've undertaken, I suppose that's a legacy of good times. We're now planning the next five-year programme at the moment, and that part of the work we're doing here is to get as many views as possible, so that when we publish the next five-year programme at the end of the year, people will identify themselves, their potential, their challenges, and their needs. And that will be a lot of the deliberations which will be taking place this weekend.
Let me, again, for the benefit of our listeners, what is it in taking place in Hilton Persephone Hotel in New Jersey? It is more, well, it could be encompassed, I'd say, primarily, it is a ceilidh, there are concerts, instrument singing, set dancing, ceilidh, Seannós workshops. Now, on the work in the workshops, are they open to those who come there for visitors, say, to this weekend?
Yes, indeed. In fact, the workshops that are there, there's several instructors from America, and also members of the Brew Baroo group, like Bobby Gardner,
yes,
Billy Kelly, and all of these. They're doing workshops as well. And I think what's important about the workshops, generally speaking, the musicians who come have the basics. And they're coming, if you like, to meet with what might be loosely referred to as the masters. And they're learning techniques, and they're learning skills, and, you know, they're getting a greater knowledge of style. And, you know, that 4 or 5 hours can be like a signpost to the future. It's not an ultimate in itself. But I have seen people who have attended workshops over the years when they were at a particular stage of development. And that 5 or 6 hours with them can make all the difference. And it's very open to anybody who wants to be part of that.
With that, I want to thank you. Let you back to what is a very, very busy weekend. Again, Tom Vesey, and you've mentioned some others. There are so many people who have spent their lifetimes dedicated to the promotion of culture and music and dance, that in fact this has, it's great. It's fantastic to see some of those who, like yourself, have spent literally decades upon decades in the promotion of the cultus culturieran, the flana, and indeed the North American Convention this weekend is yet another reason, indeed, that so many people come from all over the United States. You know?
And could I thank you, Adrian, for your help, and also Anya, for the friendship and the kindness and support which you've always shown to us. And I can assure you that it's very much appreciated in the broader family of Coltis as well.
Well, I thank you for that, and I'll let you get back to work.
God bless you. Thank you very
much. Again, friends, it's Senator Lauras O'Mahony, Director General, Coltis Kiel Tory Éireann, and this weekend it is taking place, friends. Some of you already know that, and some of you may be planning to head out there today and tomorrow. You can get, best way to get information at this point is log on to www.cceNorthAmerica.com, and you're listening to Irish Radio Network USA.